Warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last week we touched on the ecumenical movement, what it stands for. The heart of the ecumenical movement is unity at all costs. Doesn't matter what your doctrines are, we must have a visible unity to show to the world that we are united. Some of you have said that you do not have the notes for last week. We have printed more copies. If you do not have them, if you want them and you want to give them to your friends, I believe they are outside in the lobby. At the back of those notes, you'll find the list of the members of the National Council of Churches. The National Council of Churches of Singapore are the local arm of the World Council of Churches. And on that list, you can find out whether your church or your previous church is a member of the National Council of Churches or not. Because if they are, then they are as good as becoming members of the World Council of Churches by default. The deadly disease is that it will spread. As you can see from the list of the member churches, the major denominations are inside, the congregational churches of substantial size are all inside, and you'll find that more churches will join them. Some of them may not be members from the main door, but they might be members through the back door. Now what it means is this. There are certain parachurch groups that are in Singapore that are official members of the World Council of Churches, but you do not find them members of the National Council of Churches. And these groups are parachurch groups that assist many churches. That's why they are called parachurch, to go alongside the church, to assist the church in evangelism, to assist the church in many other forms of training and leadership and tracting and memorization of God's Word. These groups would include Youth for Christ, Campus Crusade for Christ, as well as the Navigators. So if your church supports these parachurch groups or encourages your members to join these parachurch groups, you are assisting the World Council of Churches, and you are also, therefore, by default, members of the World Council of Churches, not on black and white, not in name, but by your support of these parachurch groups through the back door. By default, you will be considered as members. And I'm sure you ought not to be surprised that this deadly disease had also infected some of our BP churches. If you know of BP churches who encourage their members to join these parachurch groups, as mentioned earlier, you realize that they are encouraging, supporting, both in prayer as well as in monetary substance, the World Council of Churches. But what exactly is the World Council of Churches? Look at the end game of the World Council of Churches. And you'll find the end game or the culmination of what we are seeing today described for us in very great detail in Revelation chapter 13. This chapter is not difficult to demarcate. It is divided by itself into two parts. Verse 1 to verse 10 is one part. Verse 11 to the end is the second part, because it is divided by the introduction of two beasts. Now the word beast here must not be confused with the word beast used in Revelation 4, where the Bible talks about the beasts that are in heaven assisting God in worship, in service. The beast mentioned in Revelation 4 literally means living creatures or living beings. But the beast mentioned in chapter 13, verse 1 and verse 11, these are beasts that is a reference to wild animals that you find in the jungle. These are wild animals. This is not a description that they are alive. Though they are alive. But it is a description of their character. Wild beasts. Wild creatures. That's what they are. And if you note the word another in verse 11, and I beheld another beast, same word as in verse 1 of chapter 13, and it is a beast that is another of the same kind. Okay, that's the meaning of the word another there. That means the second beast is very much like the first beast, albeit a little different, but they are the same, same in character. Watch. Beast number 1. He will rise up out of the sea. That means he is mysterious like the sea, as opposed to the other beast, which is described as rising up out of the earth. That means he is a little simple. From the earth means he is more predictable. He is not as mysterious as the first beast. And this beast will be given or described as having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, he will have 10 crowns. Now, 7 heads and 10 horns, if you remember, is also a description of Satan in chapter 12. 7 heads and 10 horns. What we have here in Revelation 13 is the unholy trinity. You have Satan imitating God the Father, and you have the first beast, also known as the capital A Antichrist, imitating God the Son. And then you have the other beast in verse 11 imitating the Holy Spirit. And you will see the similarity of the function and ministry of the other beast in verse 11. How he will be very similar to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at the description of the first beast, the Antichrist, very similar to Jesus Christ. Now, his character is like that of his father, Satan. Just as Jesus said to us, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Compare Jesus with God the Father, compare the Antichrist with Satan. And this description of 7 heads and 10 horns is to link him with Satan, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy, as opposed to Jesus Christ. His name is not blasphemy, but the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And so to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, he will have many crowns. And by the way, the word crowns there is not a Stephanos, which is a crown that you get if you won a race. This is diadem, similar to the crown that Jesus Christ will wear when he ride on his white horse descending from heaven onto the earth, as described in Revelation 19. And so he will copy and imitate, and he will come as King, King of Kings. That will be his message. And this beast that John saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and he has the mouth of a lion. Now, if you compare this with Daniel chapter 7, you'll find that these are the three beasts that were used to describe three empires. The lion described Babylon, the bear described the Medes and the Persians, and the leopard described the Greeks. Each of them have a very distinct characteristics. And the name of these three beasts are reversed compared to Daniel chapter 7. Describing to us the fierceness and the ferocity of this beast when he begins his conquest. The leopard, very fast, very swift, will be his conquest. The bear, unstoppable. That was the Medes and the Persian. Huge, strong, fast, unstoppable. And then the lion, king of the animals. He will be the champion. No king will be able to rise up against him. And so it describes the three kingdoms of the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, and the Greeks, all wrapped into one, will be the kingdom of the Antichrist. So all the three characteristics of what you find of the Old Testament kingdoms you find in this particular last kingdom of the Antichrist. And who will give him the power? The Bible says the dragon, Satan. And he will give him the power, that is the strength and the might to conquer, and the seat that will be the throne. He will be promoted as king, and he will conquer and he will succeed. And then he will be given a lot of authority, because the kings of all the rest of the world will bow down to him and kowtow to him. And so what we have here in these two verses of Revelation 13, a description of his character. And this will be the Antichrist that will rule the world. And the ecumenical movement will culminate with the promotion of this individual. And the Bible tells us that he will succeed. God will allow Satan to give him the power to succeed. Just as God the Father sent the Son, and you have this dragon sending him, who will be like him, to rule on this earth. Now you watch verse 3, and then you will see the similarity of what he will do to deceive the world, and in particular Christendom. Not the rest of the world, but Christendom in particular. That's the significance of the ecumenical movement. Now you watch. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. So he will be grievously wounded as if he had died. And then his deadly wound was healed. He will be resurrected from the dead. And then when the world saw his death, saw his resurrection, and then they will wonder, they will be so amazed by the resurrection. And then they will bow down and worship him. You watch verse 4. So you have his character, you have his ministry, and they worship the dragon, the one who energized the Antichrist, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast as well. Now you watch these two rhetorical questions that were only reserved to the Lord. Who is like unto the beast? Do you remember Psalm 71 verse 19? Who is like unto Jehovah? Remember that? Now he said, who is like unto the beast? Who is able, who has the power to make war with him? Now these are terms that are used to describe Christ. Of course, no one. And so he will now take over by his imitation. That's why he's called the Antichrist. How better to go against Christ than to be the counterfeit Christ? His character is like that of Satan. And he will die. He will be resurrected. And then the world will be amazed. And the world will bow down and worship him. Because he rose from the dead, he will demonstrate that he has conquered death. And you will find that Christendom will be part of this group who will worship. That's what the ecumenical movement is all about. That is what happens with this deadly disease, whereby so-called Christians will have eyes that are blinded, so much so that today you are seeing the early signs, if not the middle part of the signs, of the blinding of the eyes of Christendom. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4 describe the blinding of the eyes. What it says is this: let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is the rapture and the first coming of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away, which is apostasy first, and the man of sin be revealed, that would be the Antichrist, described also in Revelation 13, verse 1 to verse 10. He's also called the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, and showing himself that he is God. Isn't that the same as in Revelation 13? That is the deadly disease. It will spread and it will continue to consume churches, Bible colleges, seminaries, and then you're going to have millions of professing Christians. Didn't say they are Christians. Professing. They are going to profess that they are Christians. And they are going to be dulled. They are going to be deceived. into believing that this will be the Christ. And he will succeed because they will worship the dragon. They will worship the Antichrist. Look at our world. Look at Christendom. That's our world. And you will be amazed how the transformation has completely changed Christianity. And the Bible tells us that this Antichrist, according to Daniel, he has no desire for women. He might even be a homosexual. You look at homosexuality. It is being embraced worldwide as an alternate way of life, as another normal way of life that should not be discriminated against. And whenever you point out the danger and how God condemns homosexuality, immediately they're going to tag you as homophobic. Even when you're telling them the truth, they already characterize you as homophobic, to put you in a horrible position even when you tell them the truth. This is the deadly disease. And it will spread far and wide, and it will culminate to what we are reading now. Verse 5, and there was given, verse 7, there was given twice. God is still in control. Who gave him? Of course, Satan will continue to give him power, give him authority, and this power and authority and influence is described in greater detail from verse 5. And of course, above all these would be God himself. God gave permission. That's why we know that God is in control, because God is the one who revealed this to us more than 2,000 years ago, so that his own children will not be caught slumbering. This is to warn us that this is what will happen to our earth. This is what will happen to our world. Everything that you own, everything that you love, everything that you possess will one day belong to the Antichrist and the dragon. Please understand this. All your material things, except your soul, except your body, who you are, everything else will be handed over to him on a silver platter. God has given permission to the dragon to succeed this time round. The first time in Genesis 11, he failed. But he will succeed now. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 3.5 years, 40 and 2 months. So probably in the middle of the 7 years of great tribulation, what we read here will become a great and mighty reality. And he will rule and he will conquer. Anyone who opposed him will die. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And so he will continue to blaspheme Christians. That is exactly what we see now, isn't it? You believe the Bible is perfect, you are called a heretic. Christendom is attacking Christianity. This is exactly what it is. That's why verse 6 is a reference to Christians. He blasphemed his name. That's exactly what we are seeing nowadays. When there was the tsunami on Boxing Day a few years ago, thousands perished. The head of the Anglican Church declared, "It is so hard to believe that God exists. How could such a thing be? That God, who is love, would do such a terrible thing." Now this did not come from a non-Christian. This comes from a Christian. This is exactly what we are seeing. A blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. The Antichrist will do it. And the church will support him. The church will not know any better. The church will not know any different. You have churches today where the pastors, the congregation members, are all homosexuals. They are embraced, and they will say that this is God's teaching, this is God's work, and this is according to God's teaching from Holy Scriptures, according to God's will. Please understand that the ecumenical movement, as far as the founders are concerned, as far as the millions of people are concerned, they sincerely, truly believe that it is of God. Please realize the reality of this. In 1997 and 1994, two papers, evangelicals and Catholics together, the founder of the CCC, Campus Crusade for Christ, endorsed that paper. And they call themselves Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. And they say that this endeavor is of the Holy Spirit. They will quote scriptures to support their position. This is what it means. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. And all those who are God's children, the Bible called them saints on purpose. So if you want to stand against them, if you want to oppose them, he will fight against you. And to overcome them, he will succeed. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And he will rule the world, and the world will bow down and worship him as verse 8 described. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so you have a lot of unbelievers, millions and millions of them, bowing down to this Antichrist, who will come down to this earth, pretend to be Christ, and you're going to find the church, the World Council of Churches, all the members supporting and promoting this Antichrist. That is the deadly disease culminating in this final endeavor. And he will succeed. God already revealed to us, we are warning our people not to stop this from happening, not to prevent the Antichrist from succeeding in his one world government, one world church, one world everything. We know it will be a reality. The Bible tells us that it will take place. But our duty is to warn individuals so that your friends, your loved ones, and yourself will not be part of this, so that your eyes will be open. So that you will not be deluded into thinking that you are promoting Christ when actually you are promoting the Antichrist. So that you will not be deluded into thinking that your efforts and your tithes and your offering are given to promote God's work when in fact you are promoting the dragon's work, Satan's work. That is the aim and the purpose of the warning, not to stop it from becoming a reality. We know it will. But we have to do our part to make sure that our people, your loved ones, your friends, they will not be deceived, that they will see and they will understand what is happening around us in Christendom. And that is why it makes no sense for God's people to think that this world can ever be our home, to continue to live on this earth, eating, drinking, and making merry as if what the Bible warns us of will not take place. The Bible tells us that it will happen. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed to us because he loved us. Prophecies are given by our Father to his children. He's not giving this to unbelievers. They are not going to listen because they rejected his Savior, the Savior, his Son. They are not going to listen to all this. It's not for them, it's for us. For God's children. So that God's children will know what to do. Do you know what to do? Look at the other beast in verse 11. Coming up out of the earth, two horns like a lamb, and like the other one, very fierce, very ferocious. And this one is two horns like a lamb. That means he will have the appearance of a lamb, without guile, very mild-mannered. Maybe, perhaps, someone who looks very much like the Pope. Isn't it? Dressed in white, very elderly, very mild and meek looking. Is it a description of him? Perhaps. And he speaks as a dragon, but the words that came out of his mouth, even though it may be soft spoken, but it is deadly. It is the same. The tone is different. It is soft. It is very appealing. Unlike the first beast, which is very rough and coarse and loud, this one is soft, gentle. But just as poisonous, just as deadly. Now you watch his ministry, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, similar to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? First person, second person, third person of the Trinity. equal in power, equal in glory. Now you have this another beast, like the first beast, causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Not to promote himself. His ministry is to promote the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will worship Christ. He will point us to Christ. Isn't it the same here? He will point the worshippers to the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, resurrected. The resurrected first beast. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven unto the earth and in the sight of men. And he will do miracles. Remember the acts of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? The miracles that were performed? Done by the power of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And so he will do a lot of miracles. And so when we read of the trumpet judgments, that one third of the earth, one third of vegetation, the sea, the air, all will be destroyed by God. And the people refuse to worship God. And then we read of the vile judgments where the whole earth will be destroyed by God, and the people still refuse to worship God. One of some of us might consider, how could people be so hard-hearted? How come they still could not see after the whole earth is devastated in such great, large portions? One third of the water, one third of the ocean, one third of the vegetation, where the whole earth will be destroyed, and yet people will not turn to God, and they still want to worship idols. This is the reason why. The Antichrist and the false prophet or the second beast, they will do their miracles to challenge, to counter the miracles of God, the devastation of the wrath of God upon this earth. That's why the people will not believe. Because they really sincerely believe that the Antichrist is Christ. That the second beast is the Holy Spirit. And that the dragon is God the Father. They really sincerely believe. And that all the devastation from God the Father upon this earth, they will relegate that to the evil one, to Satan. Flip-flop. They will do a switch. That's exactly what we are experiencing now, isn't it? Everyone who attack the word of God, they say they are of the Lord. Those who say the Bible has mistakes, they believe sincerely that they are of God. We also believe that we are of God. Of course, if you are Satan, that is the best way to fool people, isn't it? That's the best way to confuse the congregation. Both sides say they are of God, and so you get confused. How do we know? They're not going to say, I am of Satan. Satan is not going to be so foolish with that kind of counterfeit. That kind of counterfeit will not work. You know in America, all their currency is green in color. Now, if you want to have a counterfeit, do you think it's very wise of you to print pink color money? Pink color. I mean, nobody would do that, isn't it? You're going to find a green that is as close to the original green color. Same thing. When he wants to counterfeit Christ, he will be as close to what Jesus Christ has done and what the Bible has said about Christ, so that he will also claim prophecy. He will also claim everything that Christ himself has claimed. And the world will believe him. The world will embrace him. The world will worship him. And this another beast will enhance the message of the first beast, to promote it even further, to make it very, very convincing by the miracles. And you know how people are very, very excited about miracles. Very fascinated with miracles. Even today. Miracle rally, miracle this, miracle that. And you find hundreds, if not thousands of people flocking to these churches that claim the miraculous. And if there are no miracles, they will fake them. Even if they are real, the Bible warns us in Deuteronomy 13, if they lure you away from God's word, they are not of God. So the God's word, the word of God, will always be the litmus test, the infallible, inerrant litmus test against all miracles. Even if it is real, and don't forget, these miracles are real. Satan is not a weakling. He has power to do miracles. He is not a weakling as you think. And deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles. Verse 14, you looked at that? Which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the first beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And so they are going to build a huge image of the first beast as mentioned engineered by the second beast in promoting the Antichrist. And then he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause them, as many as would not worship the image of the beast, should be killed. So for the first time, you're going to find an idol that can speak. You see the miraculous to confuse the world, and the world will believe the miracles of these two beasts. Just like today, isn't it? The fascination of miracles. How do you think the charismatics can be so overwhelmingly successful? Through their miracles and their tongue speakings and all these, confuse the people. They think that this miraculous is of God. So much so that they've forgotten to evaluate all things against the word of God. And if they are not according to scriptures, you don't believe them. And if you don't think that this is correct, rest assured you are going to be part of this group. Rest assured you're going to worship the Antichrist, and you think that he will be Christ. Please don't think that you're going to be smarter than the devil. The only way you can be smarter than the devil is you have the mind of God. And the only way you can have the mind of God is through the study of God's word. Because through the study of God's word, you're going to have your mind renewed. You're going to have the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And that's how you can be wiser than the evil wiles and devices of the evil one. No other way. You go to school and you get all your first class honors and all these things. They are useless against him. That's why you find many people who are CEOs and COOs and all kinds of whatever O's you want to call them, sucked into this kind of strange behavior and conduct. Can they run multi-billion dollar companies? Yes. But when it comes to spiritual matters, your IQ is completely useless. We must know this as Christians. The natural man can understand natural things. The IQ is only natural things, but the spiritual man can understand spiritual things. And how is one a spiritual man? When he has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And you become a spiritual man. That means only believers with the indwelling of the Spirit of God can study God's Word and know the Word of God. And the Word of God will be the mainstay that will help him discern and not be deceived by all these end times that will culminate in what we read here in Revelation 13. And this deadly disease will continue to spread and it will gain momentum, and there is no way this disease can be stopped. The only way is to get out of it. That's the only way. If your church, if you are in a church that is a member of the National Council of Churches, get this copy, check the list. If you have friends, family members who are inside, show it to them. The list is taken from their website. It is not doctored. We never touched it. It's just cut and paste. And we even put down the website, the address, where you can check it for yourself. Because if you don't, you are supporting the Antichrist. Do you realize that? With your attendance, with your tithe and your offering, with your service. And then your children are going to be taught by teachers who will not teach them the truth. And they will think, just like you, think that they are born again, think that they are saved, when in reality they are not saved. You know that, right? You cannot adopt a heavenly father. A heavenly father is the only one who can adopt us. That's why, just because you say you are a Christian, does not mean that you are a Christian. But when the heavenly father says you are a Christian, then you are a Christian. Adoption comes only one direction, from father to son, not the other way around. So just because you say you are a Christian does not mean anything. You have to make very, very sure that you are truly born again. How do you know? The scriptures. That the Jesus Christ that you believed in is really the Jesus of the Bible. No other way. There are so many kinds of Jesus Christ today, preached by so many different groups, different churches. You embrace the wrong Jesus who is not Jesus of the Bible. All you have is just you think you are saved. And the deadly disease has already infected your mind and your heart and very soon your soul. And And once you refuse to see the light and you think that you are still right and you hold on to this, it's over. It's over. Unless you humble yourself and you open your eyes and you search the scriptures again. This is not man's wishful thinking. This is the direct revelation from God the Father himself. Now you look at the response the Bible wants us to have in verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. So do you have an ear? Do you want to hear? Do you want to listen? The choice is yours. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, don't flinch. Don't be afraid of suffering. If we have to be arrested, we be arrested. If we have to be killed, we have to be killed. But whatever it is, you don't give up Jesus Christ. You hold on to Jesus Christ at all costs. This is the patience and the faith of the saints. And if you are a child of God, you don't be scared. Don't be afraid. He who is in us is greater than he that is in the world, that is Satan. If you are truly born again, you can rest assured that you are safe in the hand of God Almighty. No one can take you out of the Father's hand as well as the hand of God the Son. Don't be afraid of him who can only have power over your mortal flesh, but be afraid of God who has power over your soul and your body. That's what Jesus wants us. Fear is something that Satan has used very effectively. You don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous in the Lord to stand on the side of truth and always hold on to the truth. Be patient. That's what it means. Patience means stress and strain because of difficult circumstances that will want to break us, but you hold on to it. Long-suffering is with reference to people who want to break us. But circumstances will be used by the evil one to break us. Because without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, economic sanction. It will come. The rest of what it says in verse 15 and 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark of in his right hand or in his forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And if you can't buy anything, you can't buy water, you can't buy food, you know you will starve. And that's part of the whole difficult circumstances that will arise during the 7 years of great tribulation that will come. And he will use economic sanction. Basically, that's what it is. In those days, it might be something that is far-fetched. But today, it is so commonly used that we accept it as part and parcel of life because of the World Trade Organization. In those days, all the economies of the world are not intertwined. But today, they are all intricately mixed together. They can never be separated. Because the moment you separate, everything else will fall apart. And that's why once it is joined, it can never be separated. Why? Because God makes sure that this Antichrist kingdom will become a reality. And he warns us. You have ears? Listen. Don't make this world your home. Don't think that your beautiful house, your bank account, your studies are everything on this earth. It's nothing. All your homes, your house, your property, your money will be owned by him. You see that? The rich, the poor, the small, the great, the free, the born, everybody. Everyone. No one will be exempted. That's why it is foolish for God's children who sees, who understands, who knows, and not to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to think of eternal things, but to continue to harp and to think and to ponder over material things. Oh, let me build more houses. Let me make bigger money. Let me be promoted. Let me this, let me that. What are we doing? We are God's children. Please behave as God's children. Don't behave like the world. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us of all our sins, O Lord, and sanctify us by thy truth, for thy word is truth. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we may truly see that we are living in the last of the last days, that none of your children will be caught unawares, but that we will all be ready when we hear the trumpet sound, and the Lord will come, descend from heaven, and to catch us up, to be with him, and let none of us have any regrets, but that all your people and all your children are ready for the soon return of our Savior. O Lord, may that blessed day really be soon. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.